This week's episode of the Dive Podcast is brought to you by Neil Kelly, a leader in the design, installation, and maintenance of residential solar energy systems in Oregon. Visit neilkelly.com/solar to learn more and to schedule a complimentary solar assessment, or call them at 503-288-7461. Welcome to the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week, where every Saturday we discuss the biggest news stories of the week with Portland's noisiest newsmakers, savviest culturistas, and some of the best journalists in the game. I'm your host, Brianna Wheeler, and I want to hear from you. So send your questions and comments to me, bwheeler@wweek.com. All right, y'all, enjoy the show.
Because at the end of the day, we just want to be able to make the beer that we want to share with our peers. And it's pretty cool. We kind of get free reign to do that.
That's how my first guest, Anna Buxton, brewmaster of Steeplejack Brewing Company, feels about the energy in her converted church brewery. We'll talk more about Steeplejack's recent Oregon Beer Award for Best New Brewery and get Buxton's own tap house recommendations before examining a new trend in craft beer: non-alcoholic IPAs, stouts, lagers, and more, with perennial beer expert and Willamette Week contributor, John Abernathy. It's Saturday, April 9th, and this is episode 66 of The Dive. This week's issue is The Tipping Point, and oh, honey, this is a beer issue, if ever there was a beer issue. For many of us, part of the appeal of living in the Northwest is the commitment to craft industries, and nowhere is that attitude more prevalent than in the tap houses, pubs, and bottle shops of Greater Portland, many of which are rounded up in this issue. But I get it. Craft beer isn't for everyone. My mother once heaved so loud at sniffing an IPA that I ordered her at Montage that the entire 7-billion-foot-long table all snapped their little heads in unison to see what scandal had just occurred on our end of the table. So I ordered her a PBR, and I drank the beer that scandalized the entire table, because I love it. I love the skunky, woodsy, lemony tang of hops on the vine. I love the sweet, sour perfume of barley as it ferments. I vacationed in Newport so I can go to the Rogue Brewery. A picture of me posing with their infamous beard beer was one of the first pics on my Instagram grid. Oh my God. Seriously. I never feel more like a Portlander than when I'm relaxing on a beer porch on a late summer's day with my thighs and my toes out, sipping on a Saison. And this season, between new craft brewers like Steeplejack and the non-alcoholic craft brews John recommends, I can keep living my leggy lager fantasy lifestyle without also dying of a 3-beer hangover the next day. Woohoo! We'll talk with Steeplejack's brewmaster and beer expert John Abernathy in a sec. But first, here's what I learned from this week's issue of Willamette Week. Rachel Monahan reports that our Republican candidates for governor are clinging to a gender binary that would make life even harder for trans kids who play high school sports. Both Democrat candidates know our state has far greater actual issues, and they want to prioritize the safety of marginalized Oregonians rather than gas up a culture war. But Betsy Johnson, the unaffiliated third option, she's not letting trans athletes in the pool. When you give money to Portland high school athletes, $1 out of every $5 you give might just be going to a Seattle tech company. The Pamplin pension saga continues, as Nigel Jaquist reports. Court documents show that the Ross Island properties owned by Pamplin Co. and sold to their pensioners for $10.8 million were argued to be nearly worthless, except for the sand and gravel, which have been mined. According to Senator Wyden, the jury is still out on involvement of the Labor Department. Wiz Khalifa has a weed-themed coloring book, of course, and it has some pretty great graphic art. And Dinolandia, the newest installation from crypto zoo artist Mike Bennett, will open downtown this spring. Hey, it's spring right now! And that's what I learned from this week's edition of Willamette Week. Now, back to the pod. Hi, Anna. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. And congratulations to Steeplejack for winning Best New Brewery.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's such an exciting team win. That's a victory for our owners, for the chef Lawrence, and our GM Billy Cook. That's all just like a huge, huge team effort we've been working hard for. If there's one thing that we were trying to go for at OBA's two nights ago now, it was definitely that best new brewery.
Heck yeah. Yay!
Yeah. So exciting, yeah.
So exciting.
Annie and I have been, it's just the two of us brewing, so it's a lot of work.
It's just the two of you. That's so cool.
Yeah.
What's the origin story? What's Steeplejack's origin story?
Yeah, so our the two owners, Dustin Harder and Brody Day, were college friends, and they always kind of had this dream to start a brewery, and finally in 2019, they kind of were like, if you know, it's now or never if we're going to do this. And so they started looking for property, found the church, which is off of Broadway and 24th, and bought it from the congregation and started the renovation projects in 2020. So Brody did most of the demo himself. And I joined the team I started looking and talking to them in like March of 21 and officially joined the team in May. And I was the first hire. Quickly after they hired me, they hired our GM and our chef and Annie, and then the four of us kind of jumped into it. I guess five of us, because Brody does most of the sweat equity work. He's kind of our leader.
Annie is the lead brewer?
Yeah. So the brewer I work with is Annie Aviles. She comes from Breakside.
Oh, awesome.
Where she was working at before. And I was with Modern Times before I was with Steeplejack. Yeah, so it's kind of cool because her and I have completely different brewing backgrounds. She comes from, obviously, like the kind of hoppy world of Breakside, but also from Wild Beer. Before that, she worked in Wild Beer out at the coast. And obviously, like my time with Modern Times, I did a lot of hazies and a lot of kind of hypey beer and stuff. But I also learned a lot about lagering, which was kind of cool. And then before that I was with Rock Bottom, which is where I get a lot of my like more English kind of tradition beer.
Sure.
So I was in Rock Bottom, California, in Long Beach.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So I was only there for a little bit, but I was the head brewer at the Rock Bottom in Long Beach.
I'm from Long Beach and I know that Rock Bottom.
Yeah.
What is that, Ocean Avenue?
Yeah. It's like right there down.
Right downtown.
Yeah, right downtown by the convention center. It's kind of one of those like Long Beach sort of staples. Just always. It's now unfortunately closed.
But oh no!
For a long time was kind of a lot of people's either first stop or last stop.
Oh, I know. Yep, totally guilty. Drag me. When I was learning how to drink beer and appreciate beer, mm-hmm. that was one of the first places I was able to do that in Long Beach.
Yeah,
because they were doing it before it was trendy.
Where it is that for a lot of people, just because they were in so many kind of beer towns, but also just like a lot of brewers got their starts with Rock Bottom. And that's why I sought it out as a first job, just because they definitely know how to train brewers.
Totally. You guys go on to do great things. So what's the process now with you and Annie? How do you guys develop your beers now?
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of times what it is it's a big kind of struggle. We only have the six fermenters, and it's a 10 barrel system, and our Broadway pub is huge. That church can hold 200 plus people, so we're trying to brew enough beer for that. But then also we have this desire to be in the market. We want to be able to go to our favorite kind of dive bars and tap rooms and bottle shops and see our beer. So it's been an interesting mix of trying to get beer into package and then also get our recipes ready for production, because we're opening our production brewery pretty soon. And we split up a lot of the recipe development. For instance, like we each kind of have our own little babies too. I mean, we have the beers that we need to make, all the IPAs and stuff, but we have our own kind of pet projects too that we fit in whenever we can, because at the end of the day, we just want to be able to make the beer that we want to share with our peers. And it's pretty cool. We kind of get free reign to do that.
Oh, I love that. Is there a flagship brew?
Yeah, if we had a flagship. So we have our Northwest IPA, which is Roustabout. We have a hazy called Tinsmith. And then we do a San Diego Pale Ale that is kind of my love note to Modern Times and the time I had there. So that one's called Bench Dog. And then we do, I would put our English mild in that as well. Alewife, that's like our kind of sub 4% malty dark beer. And then Amelia is a Grodzicki we keep on. So that is like a 3.8%. So those are kind of the five that we really focus on and try to keep around all the time. We try not to be too beholden to a like core tap list, but we do want to have some like old reliables. But yeah, it's cool too because we have a Lucre, a, like side pull faucet for our Grodzicki, and then we have beer engines for our mild. So we're able to kind of be nerds too. specific about how they're poured. And it's cool because we also, our bartending staff is really good at handling all the different glassware and all the different kind of techniques and pouring styles for all these different beers.
What's your favorite Steeplejack beer?
Ooh.
What's your baby?
Oh, well, so, I mean, my baby is the Alewife, the English Mild, but the beer that I drink the most is Grodzicki, for sure. Annie, that's Annie's baby. It's called Amelia. It's named after her grandmother. And that one, her and I joke, it's Brewer's Gatorade. It's so good. It's like 3.5%. It's kind of salty. It's smoked. It's, for being 100% smoked, it's pretty lightly smoked, and it's got this kind of lemon-lime thing going on, too. I love it. So that's one that I drink pretty much all the time. Recently I've been drinking, we have a dry stout on nitro, called just plain. It's just a pint of plain. It's like 4.2% Dublin style plain stout. And we do black and tans with it if you're willing to wait, which is very good. Yeah, a little half and half.
Deep beer drinker stuff. I love that.
So good. Yeah, it's a nice little mix. But yeah, those are my probably kind of top tier favorites as far as like beers that I drink.
What do the listeners need to know about Steeplejack, or what do you want them to know?
I mean, yeah, we're expanding, which is really exciting. We've got a location out on the Hillsdale Highway called Pizza and Beer. So it's Steeplejack Pizza and Beer. So our chef's been really working hard coming up with like pizza. He's been moonlighting at different pizza shops in town, trying to work up what he wants to do. So we're going to be doing a pizza and beer spot out there. And as well as our production site out in Hillsboro, we'll have a tap room. And we're hiring, you know, which is also just like a thrilling part. It's been Annie and I for so long. And so I'm a little bit nervous about kind of adding to the team because her and I just work as a unit really well. But it's exciting. Get some new ideas, fresh ideas, new techniques, all that stuff.
Are you going to keep it like ladies only?
If we can, it'd be cool. But it's funny because it ended up being like completely accidental that they hired both of us, which was kind of cool. But it is like Annie and I have kind of in both of our careers not worked too much with other women and have gotten used to working with each other. And so it's like I feel a little spoiled now. I'm like, I don't know. It's nice.
That good femme energy. Mm-hmm.
When women stop seeing each other as competition and start seeing each other as powerful peers who we can empower each other instead of trying to compete, you know?
And that's why Steeplejack's beer is so delicious. Everyone should drink it.
It's collaborative.
If they're over 21 and they're into drinking. Right on. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you so much.
Have you been thinking about solar energy for your home or business? Neil Kelly can help. Neil Kelly is a leader in the design, installation, and maintenance of residential solar energy systems in Oregon. Neil Kelly Solar Energy Professionals can help you tailor a system to your unique needs and even add battery backup to make your home or business more resilient. Visit neilkelly.com/solar-power to learn more and to schedule a complimentary solar assessment, or call 503-288-7461. Hi, John. Thank you for joining me today. How are you?
Doing very well, thanks.
So today I wanted to talk to you about your contribution to this week's cover package. Will you kind of examine this new trend in Oregon brewing, this low ABV or just straight up non-alcoholic beer trend? But Oregon beer culture is legendarily heady. This kind of like idea of craft, non-alcoholic beer feels to me a lot like hemp versus cannabis, in that it's like this weed that doesn't get you high and this beer that doesn't get you drunk. And they're both like really big Oregon industries right now.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that there's, or I mean, is there a health angle?
I think that health angle is a big angle, I think, to a large extent, especially with craft. I mean, people who are already, and this is generalizing a bit, I think, but people are probably drinking craft beer already, are already a little more health conscious where they think they are, because, you know, you want to avoid industrial beers, which have, you know, brewed in a factory and have, you know, possible high fructose corn syrup or whatever, you know, the various rumors and urban legends might be. So I already think, yeah, you already have a leg up with craft beer drinkers, probably already hoping that it's healthier, maybe, whether it is or not. Yeah, you know, it's up to depends on how much you drink.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking about the fragrance of hops, and I'm thinking about the terpenes and kind of health benefits from terpenes too. It seems like there's a lot more reasons to drink non-alcoholic beer than just, I don't want to get blotto.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I mean, like, and I think you're right on with some of the terpenes and the hop angles, because for years now we've been hearing reports of the health benefits of hops, which of course translates to health benefits of beer. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember all, you know, off the top of my head, but I mean, they have various disease fighting properties and other things, not only for preservatives in beer, but also, you know, some of the chemicals and some of the terpenes actually have beneficial effects in a laboratory setting on the human body. What that usually means is, in order to gain any real benefit from the amount of hops that are in beers, you'd have to drink like 12 beers a day or something. So you're being off, it's offset right away. But if you're talking non-alcoholic beers without a lot of hops, then there's probably a lot more of an opportunity to, you know, maybe experience some effects of that. Definitely. One of the things Worthy especially is big on hops, Worthy Brewing, and they helped develop the Strata hop, which is what's kind of their showcase hop, which is goes into their hop water, and they're using in a lot of other beers and things, and they are definitely promoting the healthful benefits of terpenes, the terpene content of hops, and kind of comparing it oftentimes to CBD and some of the other, you know, beneficial effects you can get from those.
Yeah, totally. I have in my life been quite a beer drinker. I am familiar with the taste of a craft beer. Not so much anymore, though. So I'm kind of interested in exploring the low ABV non-alcoholic sphere here. So,
perfect.
I used to love really super, super skunky IPAs and also like really light, flowery pilsners. So you are the authority. Uninitiated listeners, please visit brewsite.com, because John is like,
the brewsite.com.
Correct me.
Yeah.
Don't let them drag me in the comments, John. So I love skunky IPAs, flowery little pilsners. What do you recommend for me?
You know, right now, I mean, check out the two from Crux, the two Nomo non-alcoholic IPAs. So it's like literally N0, so Nomo IPA and Hazy IPA. Those are right up there. Hopefully you get the hop fix that you want. Now they're going to be a little, you know, not as big and skunky hoppy, because again, they're balancing out with the alcohol removal and everything, but those have a good hop quality to them, I think, that really would work. For a lower ABV Pilsner, or I guess I should say no ABV Pilsner, it's a good question. You can go back to some of the more of the imports, like Klosterler from Germany is a decent one. I haven't run into too many craft brewed ones, although Partake Brewing is a company out of Canada, but they have an NA line that's available in Oregon and actually quite a few states. And they've got five or six beers right now, including, I want to say, a blonde and some lighter ones that might fit that bill a little bit. There's another company out of California called Surreal Brewing. I've seen them around a little bit. Similar, they've got a four or five, but they tend to run a little darker, and they do have an IPA. Both Partake and Surreal also have NA IPAs. Those are all worth checking out. You know, some of the offerings from Lagunitas, both their hop water and their IPNA, IP non-alcoholic, yeah. We're both actually really well developed, and I think they tasted pretty good. And you know, start there and kind of expand outward. And of course, the dark beers from Deschutes right now, they have the Black Butte non-alcoholic, and they have an Irish style dark as well that they started with. So, yeah, those are 4 or 5 possible options, I think. So,
wow, oh, what an embarrassment of riches! Thank you. Was there anything left out of the article?
You know, definitely certain things. I was trying to hoping to touch more on some of the low ABV lagers and things around, and just some other kind of highlight some of the other beers from around the state. Among those, Chetco Brewing Company in Brookings, down on the southern Oregon coast, has a couple of like low ABV beers that they specifically brew as low ABV for, you know, kind of that health and athletic lifestyle. Terminal Gravity in Enterprise, Oregon they do their Landmark Lager. It was actually a collaboration with the Landmark Saloon in Portland, but it's something like 3.7% ABV, so another just super light drinker. Prodigal Sun Brewing, similar. They've got a light session IPA right now that's in the neighborhood of 3%.
Okay, John, thank you so much for your time today. I truly appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure. I'm glad for you know, be able to come and talk about this. And
okay, you're my new beer source.
I would really enjoy that, actually. That would be a lot of fun.
Right on. Okay, cool. Well, I will talk to you in the future, John. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks to our guests this week, Anna Buxton and John Abernathy. And thank you for joining us again. I hope you'll join us next week. Till then, bye!